Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read this for us and then I'll share some thoughts about this passage. So again, our chapter for today is 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Amen. Paul begins this portion of 2 Timothy with a warning. He warns Timothy of difficult times to come and then describes people who the ESV in the subheading there describes as godless. Paul says in the last days that for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. You know, these people, he then goes on to say, will always learn but never arrive at a knowledge of the truth. They'll oppose the truth and be corrupt in mind. And all of this, Paul says at the end of verse 5, avoid such people. By the way, the last days that Paul is talking about here isn't in the distant future. In fact, I and many others would say that it's actually right now. To be clear, I don't mean that in a like doomsdayer kind of way, but rather in light of the reality that Jesus can return at any moment. And therefore, we're in the midst of those last days today. And so if you think about it, all of the descriptions that Paul gave can be seen today in a lot of the people around us, in ourselves too, really. In particular, I find it so true today that with all of the information that's available to us, we can always be learning and always be absorbing more knowledge than previous generations ever could have dreamed of, but be so far from the truth. Paul contrasts all of this with Timothy, whom Paul commends for what can ultimately be summarized as a faithfulness to Jesus. Timothy has held firmly to the teachings, followed the example of Paul, and he's remained steadfast. And as I thought about this contrast, I thought about how both godlessness and godliness aren't things that just happen. Both are the result of many decisions and events over the course of time. So again, godlessness and godliness don't just happen. They're the result of many decisions and events made over the course of time. It's really not all that different from a lot of other things in life. So for example, physical fitness. As much as we might wish we could be like Peter Parker from the original 2002 Spider-Man movie, you know, if you've seen it, you know, he wakes up one morning and realizes that he's jacked on top of also having super spider powers. Things don't work like that in real life. Getting healthy and fit requires many choices made over the course of time to eat well, to exercise, many other different things. And then, of course, the same thing is also true of being extremely out of shape or unhealthy. That's too many yeses to desserts and too many no's to exercise. And, you know, all of that over the course of time will eventually lead you to poor health. In a similar kind of way, you don't just wake up one day and spontaneously find yourself either godless or godly. It's the result of many choices made over much time. I mean, I suppose godlessness could be considered our natural state before we encounter Christ, but even with that, we don't go from godless but generally good people to the heartless, treacherous, and brutal people that Paul describes over the course of a single day. There are choices we make, or maybe choices we don't make, that lead us down one path or the other. For godlessness, I think it ultimately boils down to choosing self over God and others. Because look again at Paul's descriptors in the first 9 verses. The godless are described as lovers of self, proud, arrogant, ungrateful, without self-control, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and more than that. All of these, most obviously that last one, are about choosing the advancement, comfort, pleasure of self over God or anyone else. It's the consistent decision to put oneself over God, and that's what leads towards godlessness. Meanwhile, godliness is really the opposite. It's choosing God over everything, even including oneself. We know this from other parts of Scripture, but even here we see that. Look at Paul's language of enduring persecution and suffering. Verse 12 is pretty straightforward about it all. Paul writes, "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Clearly, godliness isn't about the advancement of self, but about sticking with, being steadfast, faithful to a higher calling and purpose, even at the cost of suffering. Now, if you're listening to this Devo, I'm going to assume that you want to pursue godliness, that you want to be a godly person, which is obviously great. But maybe your experience with this has been a mixed bag. Maybe you've tried and you are trying, but you find it difficult at times. You find yourself living kind of in the way that Paul described godlessness. And then other days you might have days that are good. And part of this is a very natural reality of life. The reality is that we're all works in progress. We're still being formed or the Christian term would be sanctified day after day. And while some days will be good, other days will be challenging. But it's important that we don't give up. And instead of relying on willpower or self-discipline in your pursuit of godliness, it's important that we lean on the Spirit of God to give you strength and wisdom to continue to pursue godliness. One very tangible or practical way to do that is to read and know Scripture. Paul commends Timothy for being steadfast, and he specifically points out Timothy's rootedness in the Scriptures. You know, he talks about how Timothy, he accepted and knew the Holy Scriptures, the sacred words, writings, even since his childhood. And he commends Timothy for all of this. And then he continues to urge Timothy to keep holding on to the sacred writings. He tells him in verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Right. So, and then he gets to verse 16. You know, Paul talks about the sacred writings and describes them as breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We could probably spend way more time talking about just these two verses, but very quickly, notice how Paul says Scripture is profitable for training in righteousness, and that it contributes to our becoming complete, equipped for every good work, aka the work of God. Even just from that, we can see that reading and knowing Scripture allows us to be formed and shaped by God himself, and thereby leads us towards greater godliness. So in our pursuit of godliness, let's be in the Word of God. Let's be in the Word of God regularly and consistently. And in some ways, as someone who's listening to this Devo, I may be preaching to the choir here, but even as you've been going through this reading plan, as you've been seeking consistency in your reading, I just urge you to not give up, but to hold on to the Word of God, to continue to be rooted in it and firmly hold on to this. And as you do so, as you spend time in the Word, allow God to form and shape you, Allow these words to enter into your heart and to change the way you think, change the way that you behave, change the way that you, the things that you love and pursue, so that we can be formed, become more like Christ, and become people who are moving away from godlessness, but towards greater godliness in our day-to-day living. So with all this, let me close out our devo in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that there are other components to this sanctification, to this spiritual formation. But Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is how one of the ways in which we can come to know you and be in intimate relationship with you. And so we thank you. Father, I pray that as we continue to pursue you and pursue greater godliness, help us to hold on to your word, to value it, to love it and to cherish it. Because, Lord, we know that to love your word is to love you. And so I pray for all of my brothers and sisters who are on this reading journey. Lord, we're actually basically a quarter of the way through this New Testament reading plan. And so, Lord, I believe that you have been working in us, that you've been speaking to us. We ask that you would continue to make yourself known to us, that our hearts will be open and receptive, Lord. But again, help us to pursue you, to move away from self-centeredness, but and rather towards God-centeredness in all that we do, God. May the knowledge of your word be, Lord, a major part of this, Lord. So we thank you, God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.